Welcome to On The Box, and this is a very brand new experience. I've never done this before. I've never talked about TV before. I've got one in my room, but I don't know what it's for. But yeah, I'm Rob. You might have never heard me on this show before. And the other three people who are regulars on this show.
Hello.
Andy over there, Owen there,
I'm Owen, yeah.
And Rob there.
Yes. I'm Rob, he's Owen, he's Andy.
And we're all there.
Say some words, Andy.
I'm saying words.
Say some words,
Owen.
I say
loads of words.
Words.
Yes.
No. I have a TV, but it's just the connect my Blu-ray player too.
You don't even have an aerial, TV. Do you?
What?
You're like on the box, aren't you?
Yeah, well, it's not really a box anymore, is it? It's just sort of like a very thin sort of plasma thing. It's not like those box. Old CRT TVs,
yeah, but
where you can actually sit on the box.
That doesn't quite roll off the tongue on the thin, you know, plasma thing.
Yeah, well, on the
curve at the minute, mate.
On those old TVs with like
I don't even want to know what you're thinking of there.
On the old massive TVs that were actually boxes, you could get on that box because it could support a grown man's weight.
Yep.
Not that I'm saying that's sat on TVs much, but yeah, I think I'll just back out now.
I am worried where this is going. Right, yeah. Anyway, obviously, Rob is joining us today for On The Box, and we've got news. Has anyone else got news?
We've all got
I've
news.
I've got news.
You've got news?
Okay, got news.
Let's start off with yours then, Andrew.
Mine.
Or has he become Andrew
is,
now, Andy?
Yes. Rob gets confused sometimes.
Yeah.
It's because you're both Andy.
Right, this is a... And does anybody watch Gogglebox?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Well, this is Gogglebox Kids.
What?
That they've announced this starting. Gogglebox Kids.
Is this kids watching TV?
Yes.
Is this kids watching general TV or kids watching kids TV?
Well, it says Gogglebox Kids will see young armchair critics talk about Cecil the Lion.
Oh, that's kind of boring. I'd rather watch like kids reacting to grown-up TV and just not knowing what the hell's going on.
Yes.
Like kids watching the new American Horror Story.
Oh, well, there's a limit.
Yeah, there is a limit, you know, but I don't know. Maybe kids watching some programme about...
Kids watching, you know, what we're going to be talking about later...
Oh, no, kids trying to watch University Challenge. That would be hilarious. Mummy, who's that nasty man, and why is he being nasty to those people?
I mean, they do say their opinions about, like, the Bake Off.
Yeah.
And things like that as well. So it sounds like that we're going to see it soon.
Hang on, doing opinions about the Bake Off. Do you realise what it's going to be? I like cake. I want to eat that cake. Mummy, can I have cake like that? No. Mummy, can I have cake like that? No.
The whole conceit of Gogglebox, though, is like a camera by the TV, isn't it? And that won't work for kids because they'd be too bored. They just run off all over the place and go and get like a toy
or something.
It's
also a recruiting notice.
How do you mean?
The recruiting, if you're like, they give a contact number and an email address if you're interested to be on the show.
Okay.
So it will be next year.
But
no doubt.
Talk about, I think, the adult Gogglebox. Calling it adult, that's ridiculous.
Adult Gogglebox. I don't know what that one.
Do those people actually apply?
Yeah, you can apply.
Yes.
Yeah, but those people who they have on it are kind of horrible people.
Don't you think we should apply?
Yeah, we'd be more interested in
We all should apply.
just Rob, what is this?
Is it no movie? What this is? What is this great British kickoff? Yeah. I got it consciously right, Rob, so use that.
Yes.
But
it's kind of a cute idea, though.
I mean, I like Gogglebox. I like things which are different. Gogglebox was different, and it was surprising how much good it is to watch somebody else watch the telly.
It's not so much that it's people watching people watch the telly, it's watching the personalities, I think. Because if it was watching people watching the telly, it'd just be tedious. But there's some annoying people on there, and I think that's what people watch.
Although they do sometimes have spoilers on that show. If you haven't watched anything for that week.
It's the nature of the beast, though, isn't it, really?
But yes.
This sounds, Gogglebox Kids sounds very, it sounds something that...
It depends on the kids.
Definitely going to watch.
Depends on the kids, I suppose. But it's an intriguing idea, and I'll be interested. But it depends what it's on. Is it going to be on...
It'll be Channel 4.
Channel 4? But that's the thing, though. Does Channel 4 actually have much of like a kids' TV programme? I don't think they do they?
What, Channel 4?
Yeah.
Of course they have kids' TV programs.
No, not in the same capacity that I have at ITV.
Channel 4 is usually
more...
BBC
channel.
Channel 4 has kids' TV programs, but they're
all in like, subtitles.
It's like an hour at like 7 o'clock in the morning,
and they're all subtitled.
No. It's just a normal kids' TV.
They're all like
hour.
French talking about.
Channel 4 doesn't really need a kids' TV set because it has The Simpsons that it shows every day at 6 o'clock.
Everybody, they've got a poll on here. It says, is it wrong to make light entertainment around Cecil the Lion to death? Yes or no? 100% said yes. 0% have said no.
Cecil the Lion, is this a kids' TV like CBeebies or something? I don't know.
CBeebies is a channel. Cecil the Lion is a program.
Yeah, no, is it on CBeebies?
Oh, Cecil the Lion?
Yeah.
Is that lion that got killed with a gun?
Oh, is that the one?
Oh, wow. My comic.
Whoa, okay, right.
Yeah, he's...
That's wrong. Yeah.
Is it like some TV, kids' TV?
It might be in like five years.
The thing is, though, I don't follow that sort of news because it gets blown out of all proportion and everybody kind of comes
crazy.
Catch
you up on the last leg.
Sorry, but I thought Cecil the Lion was some kind of weird cartoon. I was thinking like Spot the Dog or something.
I was thinking, you know that voice that Lenny Henry does, Rastamouse? I was thinking that.
Wait.
What, there's a new one of Rastamouse and it's a lion and he's called Cecil? I don't understand this.
I'm not sure Lenny Henry does Rastamouse.
Does he not?
No.
I don't know.
I'm not going to go into that. I thought it was.
Nope.
Well, again, I'm not pretending to be like an expert on Rastamouse because why would I do that? I'm an expert in the Night Gardeners.
Yeah.
I think it was Literary Writing established that long ago.
It's Reggie Yates that does it.
Reggie Yates, that's a familiar name. Is that an American comedian? Is that who I'm thinking of? Is that...
No.
Is it, Rob? Reggie Yates. It is, isn't it?
He's a British actor.
Like, who am I thinking of then? Reggie Watts. Reggie Watts, who's like a really... One of these incredibly clever like stand-up comedians who does great stuff with music.
Yeah.
He's a great comedian, Reggie Watts. I wonder that sound. Reggie Watts doing Rastamouse. That sounds weird.
But it would have made sense, though.
It would, but... I think he's got credibility because like, voicing a kid's TV character is the sort of thing you give to like Neil Morrissey, somebody who's on like the way down to oblivion. Like the only step down below that is doing movies with Danny Dyer.
So why did you think Lenny Henry was doing Rastamouse then? What?
I don't know. He's just kind of a void guy, isn't he? He doesn't really do much. He's not doing stand up anymore.
That's true.
He's only doing those hotel adverts.
Comic relief.
Comic relief and hotel adverts.
He's the one that started it, wasn't he?
Okay.
I don't know if he started it.
He started comic relief.
Did he really?
Was it
that like sort of 90s Brat Pack, like him, his then wife?
It was mainly Lenny Henry who started it because it started off as part of the whole live charity thing that was going to help against the famine in Africa.
But when he was in charge, they did have some better stuff, like, I can't remember what it was called, but it has Rudyard Kipling Gang of Six stuff. Where it's like those kids, it was Aid Edmondson as well.
Yeah.
The late, great Rick Mail.
Yep.
And I can't remember who else was in it.
There were a few.
You know the one I'm on about, don't you? You know the thing I'm referring to?
No.
What is where like the very prim and proper sort of public school boys, but they had like they went out in the country and had picnics.
Oh,
I cannot remember the name of it for the life of me.
Oh damn it!
But that was when like comic relief was at its best.
Yes.
And now it's just like sketches from some BBC Three idiot sketch show.
But the thing is,
he had Mr. Bean.
Don't forget that was quite good. Don't forget that was the time when Lenny Henry was also at his best as well.
Oh yeah,
when he had the pirate radio DJ Delbert Wilkins.
Well, the 90s sort of sketch comedy was a lot better.
Do you guys remember Delbert Wilkins with his baggy clothes and his shoulder pads, and he kept thinking he was all that and kept getting raided by the police.
Sounds familiar, but I can't quite picture.
Basically, they had like a little mixing desk and and some decks, and they had a pirate radio station in the back of like a shop or something like that, and they had like egg cartons all over the walls.
That's an insider reference there. How did we get from Gogglebox to that? I'm not quite sure.
Yes.
Should I go first, Nick, on the news? Well, next on the news.
Yeah, I think Gogglebox is done now.
So, the names Randall, Fidget, Strutter, Og, Wally and Vermin will mean something to some people.
There's a quiz question right there.
Yeah, but what that is the cast of Terry Gilliam's very popular film, Time Bandits,
yep.
Which is going to be remade. Well, Terry Gilliam announced in an interview with The Guardian, plugging his new book, Gilliam-esque, pre-posthumous memoir, which is very, you know, Gilliam statement to call your book.
Yeah.
But he said in that he's wanting to turn the Time Bandits into a TV show as a remake as part of one of his two new projects.
Yeah.
And, well, if you haven't seen Time Bandits, it's basically about a bunch of, what's the correct term? Diminutive, like, men who travel through history, through, like, tears and time, and steal stuff.
Yep.
And it's got a very satirically funny sort of take on sort of icons of history. Mm. And, yeah, do you think there's... I mean, it's Terry Gilliam's involved, so it'll have that same sort of sheen to it. But would you like to see that as a TV show?
Just yeah, quite. I would, but there's quite also a bit of me where things I'm getting tired of these reboots.
Oh, I know, but yeah. Reboots for reboot's sake, yeah.
Oh, great, definitely. But.
I mean, as you might remember, Rob, I reviewed Time Bandits for one of my first episodes of Cinema Eclectica, and I absolutely loved it. And hearing this news, I'm really happy about it. But like. Time Bandits was really good, again, because the way the characters acted with each other, and of course you had that kid who was kind of just sort of more an adventure because his life was that boring, and I would like to see how they can sort of almost recreate that kind of, the kind of character sort of interaction.
Well, the thing I like about this, I don't know whether it's still the case now, but a few years ago, the news broke that at Christmas with the pantomimes, when they did Seven Dwarves, they weren't using the same vernacular. They weren't using dwarves. They're using kids.
Yeah.
So, being actors of the size they are, there's not an awful lot of opportunities available for them.
Not really, no.
So, when that was taken away from them and given to children, it's like the same with the new movie that was out a few years ago. What was it called? Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, a sort of really grim, gritty one.
Yeah.
I'd like people like Nick Frost and all sorts of people sort of doubling up as dwarves.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I see something like this, you know, being on TV and sort of being like long-form storytelling, so they have like opportunities to go off all over the place. It's nice to see like diminutive actors sort of getting that opportunity. Yeah.
It also gives them an opportunity, though, to broaden the...
Yeah, because it must get pretty tedious just doing Snow White and the Seven Dwarves all the time. But, okay. Is there any other sort of TV movies of the same sort which do you think would translate
into a TV series?
It's like a long-form TV series, not just... Because other TV... Of Gilliam things that have become movies, 12 Monkeys became like a TV show. I don't know how successful that was.
Not very. See, the problem you've got when you're taking a movie and turning it into a TV series is normally the movie is designed to be one encapsulated story. Mm. It's like Legion becoming Dominion, right? Legion was an encapsulated story. It became Dominion, a TV series, which, to be honest, isn't really that good. Marvel created the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and then they did Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't that great. Do you know what would be really good as a TV series, as a spin-off from the Marvel Universe? And I know they're probably not going to do this, but if they did Heroes for Hire as a TV series...
What, the Incredible Iron Fist?
Was it Luke Cage and Iron Fist in Heroes for Hire, and you basically had the TV series Heroes for Hire. That would be amazing, because...
But they are doing Luke Cage as a TV show.
They are,
Have I missed...
Oh, no, they are doing Luke Cage TV, so...
Yeah, they've not announced anything about the Incredible Iron Fist.
No, but...
Iron Fist. Yeah.
But the thing is, if they actually expanded that and developed it into Heroes for Hire...
But the thing is martial arts actually popular anymore?
Yeah.
Because the whole point of Iron Fist at the time was that Kung Fu was like really popular on off the back of like Enter the Dragon. Like sort of...
Well, no, that wasn't Iron Fist.
Was it not?
No, that was Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu.
Oh, dear. That's a very different thing there. Very, very different.
Well, a film I enjoyed, but I don't know if it'll come... we really be good in like a TV setting. Was Tekken? Tekken. Tekken.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though Tekken is.
But the thing we were talking at the show about Bond before the show. That actually could make a decent stab at a TV show. All things being said, because there will come a point when sort of the luster will, because it happened with like the back end of Pierce Brosnan, where people just were really sort of apathetic, the Bond.
You can tell where
and the only way they could sort of reinvent it, it was at the time they sort of sold off Bond, didn't they?
Mm.
And it reinvented it and became like what it is now, like an amazing franchise. But there will come a time when people are kind of like sick of this gritty stuff.
Yeah.
And what else can they reinvent it with? And what else can they reinvent that show with? What else can they reinvent Bond with? I think the only way they can sort of properly reinvent Bond is by turning it into TV.
Yeah.
Call me stupid if you want, but I think that's the
really?
Only...
Really? Can I call you stupid?
Yeah, if you want.
It'd be quite a long episode, especially for them, though, anyway.
Oh, no, but it's... I think that's the only way you can literally sort of evolve it next. That's the only... That's the next sort of life-saving evolution you can do for Bond.
We mentioned this on Literary Loitering before, about maybe having, like, an intergalactic private detective. Or maybe...
Intergalactic Bond.
Okay. Well, is that a movie? It's not a movie. We're talking about a movie for TV.
No, but that's what I'm saying. If you take it one step further and you basically say, okay, James Bond, but far future James Bond, so you basically have James Bond, say, you know, 2199, so he's no longer
just
a spy on Earth. He is basically a super, super spy travelling the galaxy.
Before the show, we did mention
that. He did go to the moon on Moonraker.
Yeah, I know.
But before the show, we were mentioning the old idea of the theory of Bond being a title passed from pillar to post.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
So that does make sense within that theory.
I mean, Marvel got away with making comics like Spider-Man 2099 and stuff like that, so why can't we do that with TV and say, you know... I mean, there was even a Thunderbirds 2086 or something.
Oh, the new Thunderbirds is awful.
No, not the new one. Remember the anime series, Thunderbirds 2086?
Yeah.
There was the new one, though. The new
CG one, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
We don't even talk about the movie.
The new one, though.
Yeah, I know
that. We talked about last week.
Oh, they got Return to Puppets, yeah.
Puppets are rubbish, let's be honest. Puppets are rubbish, but it's our rubbish, so we love it for that.
Yeah.
But when you slick it up and turn it into... sort of that CG, whatever.
CG now? Even Bananas and Pyjamas is CG now?
Oh, God, where's my childhood going? My child's just being
ripped
apart.
Bill and Ben, didn't they get reinvented recently?
Teletubbies is coming.
Don't really care
about what they're doing with that.
I've just been sent this through from a certain person in the background there. Donald Trump photoshopped into various horror movie scenes.
Instead of the monster, so Michael Myers is in the background, but no, it's Donald Trump.
Yeah, you know that scene in The Shining where he's up in the door, he goes, "Here's Johnny."
So that scene from Donnie. The Thing where the head comes off and it's like loads of tentacles.
Yeah,
it's just Donald Trump's head with loads of tentacles coming out. That's actually horrifying.
It's actually horrifying.
I don't think I'm going to sleep tonight.
Does it beat the Ed Miliband ones we saw last year?
I can't remember that.
I got confused. I looked at the Ed Miliband ones, and then I realised I was looking at pictures of pandas.
that's a weird segue, Rob.
Yeah. Well, he always looked like he'd been punched in the head twice.
It's like one of those sort of time-dilated things, so each picture sort of changes subtly and subtly and subtly, and by you get like David Cameron or Ed Miliband has become a panda.
No, it's just he has like no chin, and he always looked like somebody had hit him twice in the face. So he always had these... dark black circles around his
eyes. Probably his brother. Yeah, you sell me out.
Every morning in a headlock, wham, wham.
Yeah.
There you go. There's your makeup.
If I could take us back a few steps, we're talking about movies that became TV shows.
Yeah.
We have had a few successful ones. I think for me, one of the most successful ones had to be Stargate. So that went on for years after.
Yeah, that was longest running continuous sci-fi TV series. In history.
18 series, collectively?
Stargate SG-1 went on for 10 years.
And then...
Then Atlantis went on for 5.
And then there was about 3 of Universe, wasn't there?
But there was also Infinity, which no one talks about.
Oh, yeah,
no one mentions Infinity.
When you talk about it as sort of a long-running sort of series, that's 18 years.
Yeah, it did really. It
something
did
like
really
that, 15, 16, 17, 18, something like that.
Well, all SG-1 and Atlantis overlapped.
A little bit, yeah.
That poo-poo is my theory then, doesn't it?
But still, it's over a decade.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
it's all episodic as well, so I mean, CSI is probably ran for about that, but it doesn't really mean anything to anything. It's just all very.
The thing is, the great thing about the Stargate idea was that there were Stargates all over the galaxy in different worlds, so you could do an episodic TV series.
It's amazing how many planets look like an empty field somewhere behind the shooting lot,
or a desert in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Amazing how it doubled up.
Yeah,
it's funny because there's one great scene from I think one of the early Stargate episodes where somebody actually took a still of it, and just behind Richard Dean Anderson's head, right, you see an aeroplane just flying over, just coming into land.
Oh. Yeah, there was lots of stuff like that. You know. It's like when they try to make stuff period, and you just see like a Ferrari go past. The it's like, oh.
Or somebody's wearing one of those Casio calculator watches.
It's like, wasn't the when they were filming, there was like a set photo from when they were filming was a Troy or something. And there was like a mobile phone on the floor.
It's a magic rock. It's not a phone. It's a magic rock with space time adventuring. And
yes.
I don't know. Wow. Yeah, I think we jump to the next story then. Who's got the next story?
That's me. BBC Three, in my opinion, has taken a bit of a surprise move.
Not a surprise move. We told them to do this, remember?
Oh, that's right. We did, didn't we? BBC Three are going to be showing World Championships of League of Legends.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ryan is triumphantly holding his arms out in the background, and I've got one thing to say. No. Yeah,
that must be a tasty sandwich.
No, this is a horrible idea.
I
understand why you think it's a good idea, but it's a horrible idea because to me it stinks of Johnny Come Lately just trying to get in on a trend.
No, but
BBC do that a lot.
It's true. It's ending though. BBC Three and Four.
Yeah, it's going all completely online, which makes the whole idea of putting this championship on there kind of redundant.
Yeah, but here's the thing, right? The reason why I think this is a good idea is because it shows that BBC are finally starting to look at what people actually want to watch.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe BBC are starting to turn a corner on that front. Only time will tell. You know,
we don't all want to watch the one show.
No, we don't all want to watch the one show. The thing is, I don't mind the one show because it's nowhere near as offensive as half the other stuff that BBC have.
It's just wallpaper paste, like vanilla wallpaper paste.
Do you know BBC recently did their drama Dr. Foster, right?
Yeah.
Got really good ratings, was a really highly acclaimed mini-drama series. Didn't last for long, but BBC, if BBC invested more money in doing stuff like that, and you know, Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell and all sorts of other
was
shows
that any
like
good?
That, yeah, it's
and stop
brilliant.
Defending the Voice.
Yeah, stop defending the Voice and Top Gear and stuff like that.
Just one thing on the Voice, it doesn't actually make any sense. With the ITV one, you win like a contract, like you're going to get like a chart success out of that.
Yeah,
even if it's just like a fly by night one hit wonder. But one that the Voice doesn't have anything.
A lot worse than the ones that finish like seventh or something.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But the Voice, what happens to Voice winners?
The thing is with that show, nothing. Right?
They end up in Tom Jones' dungeon.
They have that whole chair thing.
Yeah.
For the auditions only, and then just goes to a normal.
Yeah, it's kind of boring.
If they kept it all the way through, I don't know, where the judges have to wear blindfolds.
I know we're talking about video games, but one last thing about the Voice. Why would you have Ricky from Kaiser Dozy Ass Chiefs as one of your judges on singing? He can barely talk, for God's sake.
No. You think he's bad? They've got Will.i.am.
Well, Will.i.am's very talented.
Who can't even sing. He's very talented.
Apparently he's one of the most talented freelance... No, not freelance. Yeah, freestyle rappers there is.
Okay.
But you're talking about somebody that...
I've never heard it.
That just decided to put two dots in his name. But here's the thing. Just figure out it was William.
Do you know they got rid of Tom Jones? Right? They basically sacked Tom Jones and everyone was kind of, why have you got rid of Tom Jones? It's Tom Jones. Mm. You know, when it comes to singing.
Well, ratings as well. Like, all those people will tune in because it's Tom Jones.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there wasn't anybody else. You know, out of all of the judges, the only person who you could be guaranteed would not only pull in the ratings, but also had that wealth and depth of experience. Mm.
Just to
that
bring
would
it
help
back
any
to the League
budding
of Legends
singer.
Thing.
Was Tom Jones.
The problem with the League of Legends thing.
He got told, just very quickly, told that they needed to turn more.
Yes. I read that, and that is ridiculous.
The thing about the League of Legends thing, though, is it's kind of very new for BBC Three, it's not like they've got like a ready set sort of horse to sort of throw in there. What they're going to do, right, is going to get somebody terrible from BBC One, like Reggie Yates, or that douche from who's on X Factor now, the one with the fringe.
I know who the host is.
Who's the host?
Dev Griffin from I think BBC Radio 1.
Dev Griffin.
Yeah,
it's just some sort of...
Unless he actually looks like a griffin, I'm not interested.
Some sort of bland, interchangeable 20-something who has nothing to say about anything. He just reacts loudly.
I actually want him to look like a griffin. I want him to just squawk and cluck into the microphone.
Is this a video game, then?
Yeah. It's more of a League of Legends. But
it's that game where you look at it and you're confused as to what's going on, but everyone else seems to really like it.
On the board.
Yeah, you just
That's the fundamental problem. They've got to build up this sort of massive event. They've got to have a show, at least some form of show.
Oh, look, and I have an app that goes on.
You put a host on there. You establish that host, and then you can. And then you can build that up and you can go to stuff like this, and that guy's got the most generic guy face.
That's going to be the host of...
When this goes online, this be BBC 3 and 4.
No, but that's the thing. If you had a show...
Change it. BBC maybe gaming or...
Yeah. That's the thing. If you had the BBC gaming and you pushed like some hosts for that, it makes sense to go and have this League of Legends thing. But if you're just dropping your toy and think, oh, everybody else is really interested in this, we'll have a go. It's going to backfire on them.
Yeah.
I'll just go quick close it up with they're showing all 4 days of the event starting from Thursday the 15th of October. So
is it Glastonbury now?
Yeah, they're doing it like the way they did they do BBC Sports and Glastonbury. So
yeah, okay, right. I've got two news stories, so we'll go with the first one, right? I've got to open this with these lines. It has to be done. And all because the lady loves milk tray.
What are you talking? Is it they're bringing it back?
They're bringing back the milk tray, man. But it's not just going to be a man. This time it could be a woman as well.
Do you remember?
Because Cadbury's are opening the auditions to both genders and to neutral genders and to transgenders and to everybody.
Am I misremembering this? But towards the back end of the run, didn't have Dawn French on those adverts?
That was Comic Relief.
Oh, right, yeah. I forget. But it was a good parody though.
That was Comic Relief, and it was basically her in her role as Vicar of Dibley.
Yeah.
If you remember.
Yeah, she was.
And
very good,
she though. Ate all the chocolates along the way.
But it was a very easy parody, so if you haven't seen it or if you're too young to remember it, it was basically like a perfume advert. Really weird and pretentious. But about chocolate?
It had somebody on like a hang glider or diving off a cliff or something like that, and then swimming to a boat and getting on and leaving a box of milk tray with a card that just had a silhouette of some guy with his arms folded.
Just spitballing it, yeah. But haven't kind of Stella Artois taken that with their recent campaign?
Which one?
When they've got like some exotic sort of bar, and they've got like. People do like men doing weird things to some glamorous woman who drinks Stella Artois.
Really fashionably. Yeah, but the thing is, that's doing stupid stuff. This person is actually going to be doing stunts, like climbing buildings and stuff like that.
Yeah, you never know. These Stella Artois adverts could escalate in that way.
No, because that's basically sending the wrong message. Drink Stella Artois, and you can climb Buckingham Palace dressed like Batman.
I wouldn't do that for some milk tray,
Hey,
milk tray wasn't very good.
I wouldn't do that for milk tray.
No, you're not doing it for milk tray. You could be the woman who receives the milk tray if you want.
Yeah, he's got the fluttering eyelids, hasn't he? Flutter his eyelids, and, you know.
Oh, sorry, Andy. I couldn't resist.
Ah, well. But why did you bring this up? Was the particular?
It's just because we haven't seen the milk tray man on TV for like 13 years.
They are doing that a lot, Luan. They are bringing back a lot of old ads. And stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, the milk tray man started off about 35 years ago, but it's been about 13 years since we actually had any milk tray advert that involved the milk tray man or woman now, as it's going to be.
Next, we'll have like Renee and Papa coming back. Nicole and Papa.
Nicole and Papa, yeah.
Yeah, and we'll have the last advert with Vic and Bob on it.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Vic, Bob. Anyway, Andy.
Yes.
Did you have a story for us?
I've done my story.
Have you?
He did Gogglebox.
Oh, yeah, he did. So I've got the last story then. My brain hurts. Okay. How do I start this one? The new Muppets series has drawn some controversy for its adult tone. But the series creator, Bill Prady, has insisted that the intention was to very much honour the original Muppets. And it is launching on Sky One in the UK later on this month.
So we'll be able to enjoy the adult version of the Muppets.
Well, yes, Muppets kind of have a very mature sort of vibe to them.
Yeah.
I mean, people don't know this, but the Jim Henson, or Brian Henson studio as it is now, to develop people into sort of to be like your Kermits, your new established characters, they put them on the improv comedy circuit to sort of find their comedy voice with like the puppet that they created. And with improv comedy, it's not all going to be clean. It's not all going to be fresh. So
no.
The very improv, DNA of...
There are no losers with improv.
No. No
just,
winners either.
Just the audience.
Yeah. But that's the thing. The very fibre of making all of these characters like a thing. Kermit went through this process as well, was to put them through improv.
Sorry, sorry, I just got this mental image of Kermit, just the actual puppet on an improv stage.
You laugh, but it is actually true. It is actually true. I've listened to like a podcast with Brian Henson, and this whole thing is true.
No, I believe you. It's just the mental image of Kermit going, just kind of going, "Hi, how is everyone? How you doing?"
Just bring whose lines are anywhere back with the Muppets.
Yes.
See, he's thinking, right,
you get
it. If the Muppets are basically going to be exactly the same as they were back in the day, it's just shown the Muppets haven't changed, but attitudes have, because now we're in a more mothering stage where like every little thing has to be analysed and say, well, is it appropriate for kids? Is it not? If it's not, then get it away.
Yeah, but that's basically how things work these days.
It's a kid's thing now, though. Yeah, more adults are going to watch it.
Well, it's not that it's a kids or an adults thing. It's just an everybody thing.
Yes. Yeah. Right, okay, we're going to take a very, very quick break there, and we'll be back after this message.
Honk.
Hello, do you like films? Well, wow, that's good. We're over the first hurdle. If you like films, and you also like podcasts, you should probably check out the Geek Show's only dedicated movie podcast, Cinema Eclectica. Well-staffed with a trained array of helper monkeys, we review all of the latest films every week. And do it reasonably well.
Hello, and welcome back to On The Box, the Geek Show's dedicated podcast on all things TV on the Geek Show Podcast Network.
Yes. Right. Now, we're into what have you been watching. So, guys, what have you been watching?
Well, this is going to be awkward because Rob could have had input in this one.
Okay.
This week, I took Rob's advice and I watched the pilot episode and the first episode of Toast of London.
I can input on this one.
I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, Toast of London is amazing.
The pilot was obviously because it was a pilot. Yeah. It was jumbled and
yeah.
But that first episode with the Bruce Forsyth and oh god.
Oh, Matt Berry's amazing, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he's brilliant in IT Crowd, he's brilliant in this.
But yeah.
I'm watching it, I'm thinking, oh god. When he first mentioned it, I'm thinking, oh, have they actually got Bruce Forsyth on this show? But then, obviously...
Yeah.
Oh, God, it was just
funny. Did you laugh?
Yeah, I'm going to watch the whole first season and then see if they've got the second one.
Have you heard who they've got as Matt Berry's dad?
Yeah, we talked about it last week. Yeah,
it's amazing, isn't it? Listened. Now that you've seen Toast of London, you know exactly what to expect.
I'm going to have to watch the rest of them. 5 more episodes. Well, it'll be 11 more episodes, won't it? But
yeah. I'm glad you're enjoying it. It's such a good show.
Because I knew how Rob and you were bigging it up.
So good, so good, so good. Yeah, Owen, if you get a chance, watch Toast of London.
I've heard about it, and I will give it a go. I mean, I am a fan of Matt Berry. I think he's just absolutely hilarious. Did you remember that? The Bob Mortimer and Vic Reeves programme that I think went out last year. Basically, they're kind of living together. And
it got cancelled, didn't it?
It did, yeah. Mm. And Matt Berry's in it as well, and he was absolutely hilarious in it.
Cool.
So,
anyway, Owen, what have you been watching?
Well, I've not been watching anything current, but I've sort of been gone back a few years. As you may know, I'm a fairly big sci-fi fan, and I've been kind of broadening my horizon when it comes to sci-fi, particularly older stuff. It's not very old, but I've been watching the remake of Battlestar Galactica. And particularly,
Have you not watched it before?
I had watched some, but at a point I found it a bit too gritty. But when I kind of started watching again, I really started to enjoy it.
Do you think that might have been because of how old you were?
It might have been. At that time, I was more firmly into the likes of Star Trek.
Yeah.
But I kind of started to open up a bit more, like, I started watching Stargate as well, and so
kind of broadened my horizons when it came to sci-fi.
You betrayed Star Trek. You betrayed Kirk. You betrayed Picard.
No. But particularly what I'm going to talk about was the sort of little TV feature-length film episode called Razor.
Yes.
Now, this covered the story of the Battlestar Pegasus.
Wasn't Razor the story about Adama?
Both Adamas, because of course you had Lee Adama,
yeah,
who's not a cheese, who's now being made commander of the Battlestar Pegasus. So it talks about his first, I think, few weeks as its commander. But it's also interweaved with the story of Admiral Kane from the start of the colonies.
Sorry, I was getting confused because they've got a couple of TV movies for Battlestar Galactica.
You're thinking of Blood and Chrome.
Yeah, that's it. Blood and Chrome is the one I'm thinking of. Yeah, I remember Razor now.
Aye. So you got Lee Adama, who's starting out as commander of the ship, but it also shows Kane from the moment of the attack of the colonies as she kind of sinks into... from the mind that survival is paramount to we've got to strike back at them, and sort of the decisions she and the crew made to kind of up to the point when they met with Galactica.
Mm.
And Michelle Forbes, I saw her a few times when she was in Star Trek as Ensign Ro Laren, and I thought she was a really good actress in that. But she really surprised me when she was allowed to elaborate more on the character of Admiral Kane. And I thought it was absolutely... It shocked me, but I swear...
You enjoyed it?
I did enjoy it. She was such... She'd bring chills down your spine. She was that good.
Well, down your spine?
Yeah.
I was watching Galactica, and I was like... by that point, by the time I watched Razor, I was kind of expecting good acting. Yeah. So, you know, seeing her on screen, it didn't give me chills down my spine, because I was expecting good acting.
Yeah. That's what Galactica's got. It's got some really good characters, really good actors, and
a really good premise as well. I mean, okay, it's a remake of the 1970s version of Battlestar Galactica, but the way they've done it is really good.
Yeah, and they've kind of kept some history and lore from the original as well. Like when they talk about the first Cylon War, they're using those original Cylon Raiders.
Mm.
So I quite like that. And
well, it's not just that. I mean, the whole thing with the 13th Colony, all of that. The basics are carried over. The thing that got a lot of people with the new Battlestar Galactica was that they thought it was a bit too serious.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't really have the kind of cheesy charm of the 1970s version.
There's one bit I remember because I did watch some of the original episode that had the Pegasus. So that was, the original Battlestar. And there's a bit where Cylons... Silent Pilot is telling his commander, "Sir, I really think you should look at the Battlestar out of the window." So, what Battlestar? Oh my god, what is that? And it just sounds so cheesy, but I did enjoy the cheesiness, but having the seriousness in the remake just made it, in my mind, so much better. But because you're seeing people at some of their best and their worst, and it's the kind of thing that really shows an actor's skill.
Right, as for me, it's kind of obvious what I have been watching. I've been watching the final of the Great British Bake Off. Just a couple of things. Number one, it is the most watched final episode of anything this year. In fact, it's ripped all over quite a lot of other stuff. 13.4 million people tuned in to watch Nadia Begum, I think it is, or Nadia Hussein, I can't remember. It's one or the other. I will remember her name at some point. But Nadia win the Great British Bake Off final. And do you know what the weird thing was? There's been all sorts of praise pouring out for Nadia ever since she won. The Great British Bake Off did something that other shows really haven't done. It got a large Asian audience.
Yeah.
A very large Asian audience. And that was the thing that... because you had Tamal and Nadia and Ian, I think it was, in the final.
Yeah.
And they all did really well. Their showstoppers were very, very good. Managed to impress Paul and Mary with their showstoppers. But it was kind of obvious after the first round and the technical challenge, it was kind of obvious that Nadia was the one to beat. Mm-hmm. You know, it was basically hers to lose, but she didn't, you know, she did really well with her showstopper. And at that point, the audience pretty much knew she'd won. I think it was a deserving win.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I think it was a deserving win. But yeah, that's the Great British Bake Off done for this year.
Yeah.
This was the sixth Great British Bake Off. It's amazing that it's been going for
6 years. God.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of ridiculous when you think about it.
There's been quite a lot of opinions from the final, isn't there? As well,
yeah.
Though,
yeah. The, do you know, the weird thing is the reaction on Twitter to Nadia's win.
Yeah. It's always Twitter.
Yeah, the reaction on Twitter to Nadia's win was great. But what was hilarious was the reaction on Twitter to Nadia's husband. Just hundreds of middle-aged women suddenly tweeting, oh, he's so hot. Oh, he's got such lovely skin. and all sorts of creepy things like that. And like,
weird hashtags, really? And things.
Hashtag GBBO.
Wow.
Nadia's husband has really lovely skin. I'm so jealous. I want his skin.
Okay, that's got a bit weird. I mean, unfortunately, there has been some negativity aimed at the Bake Off as well, but I can't really say by who because I'm not allowed to say it to swear on
it's
the show.
It's by a certain newspaper.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But unfortunately,
I saw that story.
Anyway, the negativity that they're talking about, they're thinking it's getting too much. Too much what?
I think it's too diverse.
Too diverse or too much exposure?
I don't know.
Too diverse.
Yeah.
So basically, they want a bunch of what, uniform people?
I think
are those uniforms grey and all those people do step into the tent?
Might as well be, for all I care. I mean,
do they wander around going big smile?
I mean, that's it, because
do they like waving at each other? You know, kind of doing angular waves at each other from other sides of the tent? You know.
Oh, thank God, no one can see that.
But, no, I'm just saying, is this the kind of uniformity of people that they want? They don't want diversity.
I don't know. Well,
do these people realise that everybody in Britain is an immigrant, regardless of what their skin colour is, because Britain is an island? Nobody evolved here.
Not exactly true. And the Independent, God bless the Independent, they brought this in. They brought this home basically saying, well, if you're not happy with the way the Great British Bake Off is, why don't you leave this country? Because we are a diverse country. We always will be. So if you're not happy with this TV show not being predominantly white, not being all Christian, then go somewhere else.
He should be watching the barbecue show on ITV instead.
I'd also like to point out that Christianity is imported.
Exactly. Yeah.
Can I say, though, as well? I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, as long it would have been random anyway.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, if you get rid of migrants, then get rid of everything that's imported. Right. If you're upset about the lack of diversity,
we're an island.
Get rid of everything that's imported, so the people in this country would be back to eating fruits, nuts, grain, rabbits, and things that they dig out of the earth.
Yeah.
Can I say though, if people are upset by this, why don't they actually apply for the show and win the show if they're that good at baking?
10 points to that man there.
It shows the show, doesn't it? White people are terrible at baking cakes.
It's that simple, though.
Yes. Anyway, that's what I've been watching. He's been watching Toast of London.
Oh, you magnificent guy.
That's why I said you should have stayed.
Oh, well. I had to make a phone call. But did you enjoy it?
I watched the pilot in the first episode and it was hilarious.
The first season's outstanding.
First episode with...
the pilot? Because the change of the pilot is... Yeah. What's the name of the guy who he's... It's his rival.
Oh, it's the same person, but...
No, I think one... Cast somebody else is... No, it's the agent. It changes from the pilot to the... It's Duna...
What's Duna?
What's she called? She's a very sort of prolific TV comedian. Duna, she's a Scottish lady. She's very good, but it's well cast.
Yeah.
But, glad you're enjoying it.
Right.
Very glad.
Okay. We're going to do something a little bit different now.
That's a loaded statement.
Right. You know, on QI, they have all those helper monkeys.
QI elves, they call them.
The QI elves. I call them helper monkeys. One of them looks like a monkey.
Somebody with an internet connection.
Yeah.
Basically, it's people who research the answers. Right. Now, there's a nice little quiz I've found to find out if we are as smart as the people who research QI questions.
Is this like that TV show, Are You As Smart As a 6-year-old? Or 8-year-old, I think it was.
Not quite. Yeah. These are very, very straightforward questions, and it will be either true or false or yes or no, something like that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there's only two options, so it's a 50-50 chance we will get them right if we guess.
Scott.
So we're going to have a little try at being smarter than QI's elves. So
can I go to the shop like they do?
Can I go to the shop and get like a beret and a pipe, and then I can happily be as smart as the QILs?
No, you can be as hipster as the QILs.
I can use my laptop, yes, like the QILs do.
No,
but if I had a Jacobean ruff, I would definitely be as smart as the QILs.
We know you like Jacobean ruff.
Yeah, if somebody wants to buy me a Jacobean ruff for Christmas, I would not say no.
Derek Jacobi.
And there's also a wrestler mask. I'd wear my wrestler mask and my luchador mask and my Jacobean ruff, and I would scare the bejesus out of Middlesbrough. But this quiz, let's
start. Okay, question one. Nothing on the planet Venus is named after a man. No checking Google, Andy.
So if yes means you agree, and no means
true or false. True or false?
True or false? We're going for true or false. I'm going to go for true.
Let's debate this because we're going to answer as a group.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you were going to like score it like you've done in previous. No. So we have like an eventual winner.
We're going to try this as a group first.
Okay.
For the first time, we're doing a group challenge.
Wow.
Against this quiz, so.
But Venus, you've got it in front of you.
Yeah, I don't have the answers.
Oh, don't you?
No. Nope. I'm answering this at the same time you get...
So do we know him right then?
Well, I will tell us
so
at the end.
What was the question? Venus,
nothing on the planet Venus is named after a man. You know they say men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Okay. So is anything on Venus named after a man?
What, man is in like a person from history. Is this what it's asking?
As in named after a man, male, person from history, or man as in just man?
Right. Well, the fact that... Watching QI, the thing about this is, if it's asking that question, it means it's obviously false. Because that's the way it does. It asks you a question which you're led to believe is true, but it never is.
Unless it's a trick question and it's correct.
So I'm playing Alan Davies, are you? Is that what this is?
So
I'd say false. I'll be honest with you.
How many votes for true, how many votes for false?
I'm calling QI's bluff and saying true.
True?
I'm going true as well.
I'm going false.
Okay, because this is basically you three are deciding this, so that's only 3 years of taking part. So you're going with true. Two people say true, one person says false. So we'll click true. Wrong!
So it was false?
It was false.
So Andy was right?
No. There is one feature on Venus named after a man. The tallest mountain is named Maxwell Montes after the physicist Clark Maxwell.
Oh, well, I misinterpreted that question. I thought it was like... things named Venus from the history of the Earth. And I thought, no. It's just a name, man.
You're not just in the Alan Davis role. You're actually channeling Alan Davis.
Yeah. I think I'm going to grow my hair into curls.
Question two. Pope Francis used to work as a driving instructor.
Is this the most recent pope?
Yep.
He's Argentinian, isn't he?
That brings a whole new meaning to the term Christian driving.
But at the same time, people who were in the Christian faith and like...
No, work, Sunday driver, you mean.
Work in any faith aren't always in that faith. They've got to do something before that.
Yeah.
So it stands to reason that...
He'd somehow pay his bills.
I imagine he doesn't have road rage.
But at the same time, it might have, you know, made him question humanity if he was a driving instructor.
Especially in Argentina.
Yeah, which I'm going to go with false for that one.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's going to agree with me.
I'd say true. You have to have done some...
Sorry, the opposite of road rage is road serenity.
It's just road butter.
Yes.
But I don't know if that's just the fat guy sat in the middle of the road with his top off. Or just sort of some state of zen. Could be both.
So what do you vote then?
I'm going for false.
False. What do you say, Andy?
True.
True. What do you say, Owen?
I'm going to go false.
False. So two people for false then, is it?
I'm just using my.
So we're answering false. It's correct.
Yes.
False.
So one up.
why are you raising your hand in the air?
I thought it was true.
So it's one all. One. Everybody's got one right.
Everybody's got a point. We can still actually score this, don't worry.
So it's only got a pick.
Was he a driving instructor?
And he wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
And you said it's correct?
No, I said
he's getting...
The consensus was correct.
I said true or false. I'm answering false here. False is correct. So that means the two people who said false get a point each.
One all.
So now it's one all. Okay. Moving on.
How many questions is there, by the way?
There are only 10 questions.
Oh, so this is going to be a quick one.
Question three. Ian Duncan Smith is the only Conservative leader not to have been made into a Madame Tussauds waxwork. True or false?
It did, but it was just like a piece of poo that was on the floor. And they just put like a you know those little things that you put on food displays. Yeah. And it says Ian.
What do you mean hundreds of thousands?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, if they give Ian Duncan Smith that, it's just totally devaluing it because he is scum on earth. So
is every other Tory.
No, but he's
politician.
Worse than all of them.
So you're saying true or false then?
So what was the statement?
He's the only Conservative leader who has not had a Madame Tussauds waxwork.
True, because he doesn't deserve one. Doesn't deserve one. He's a piece of human garbage.
Surely there are others that haven't been made. I mean, who's the one that became leader after Margaret Thatcher?
John Major?
I just said false.
I'm sure there isn't one of John Major either.
I'm pretty certain there is. I'm pretty certain there is, because he was a very controversial and sort of... not well regarded, but he had the what were the puppets called from the '80s, Rob?
Spitting image.
He had a spitting image. So if he has a spitting image, it's kind of a natural transition to have like another sort of icon part of the year. But I'm going with false.
You're
not
going
true.
With false.
True, true.
So true.
True, okay. He doesn't have one.
I'll go with false.
You're going false?
Ah, gonna go false.
So two for false.
And one for true.
So we'll answer false.
Oh,
it's true. He's in the lead. So 2-1-1.
What do you win?
So
hey.
The respect of your peers.
Question 4. Doorknobs have been banned in Vancouver. True or false?
Is this just general doorknobs or is it a specific design of doorknobs?
It just says doorknobs have been banned in Vancouver.
A handle's allowed.
When you say doorknobs, is it doorknobs like it's the circular thing?
Yeah, the bits like ball and a...
So it's not like the handle like we have, so it's like a metal bar.
Nice. That's a lot of so.
I want to. My faith in humankind wants me to say true, so I'm going to go with true because it's just so silly. I want it to be true.
Yeah, true.
We have a group consensus
might not
on
have
true.
Any human hands, so they might not be able to turn it.
So true. Everyone says true. Yeah, yeah.
Go on, true.
It's true. Everyone gets points. So 3-2-2.
Wow.
I wonder why.
Well,
Google that.
It is actually what you said. People can't grip doorknobs.
Their prime minister is just a crazy drunk, so... Who knows?
Okay.
No, he actually is. He's a crazy drunk.
Here's a good one for you guys. The longest sperm in nature belongs to a fruit fly.
True.
The longest sperm in nature belongs to a fruit fly.
I'm going to go with true, because it's one of those weird QI facts that just sounds weird, but
right. I'm pretty sure I remember this on QI.
I'd probably say false.
You're going to say false.
So many more living things.
Two for true, one for false. So it is true.
Oh. So three.
So we have 4-3-2. Andy's trailing.
I was, no.
Yes, no. You were winning.
It's all to play for. There's loads to be lost.
There's another 5 questions left. So it's, the scores could really change. Right. D.H. Lawrence had a pet bear.
Oh.
The author D.H. Lawrence had a pet bear.
Author of?
Lady Chatley's lover.
No, I'm just saying for everybody else to know.
Okay.
Just so it's a consensus.
The rainbow, Lady Chatley's lover, various other things like that.
If it was, what's he called? He wrote the song, not the song in the sea, what am I thinking of? Ernest Hemingway. If it was Ernest Hemingway, I'd say yes. It's the first thing.
I'd think that has to be false, unless it's like
Ernest Hemingway, he clearly had a bear because he was amazing. But if it's D.H. Lawrence, I'm going to go for false because he didn't have that sort of amazing streak to him.
People have had pet bears before.
Yeah, okay. But did D.H. Lawrence?
I'm going false. False for me.
I'll say false.
You say false?
I'm going true.
The consensus is on false. You're going true.
So false.
Consensus is... It's false.
Wait.
So 5.
That's the consensus. Yes.
So what? 5-3-3.
Yep.
Yep.
Yes. Pulling away.
Yes.
I did a little chair dance there as well, just to celebrate that fact.
Question 7: The Big Bang was quieter than a Motorhead concert.
True.
True.
How can that be? Because nobody was here to record it.
This is just the question.
I'd say true because it's QI.
So, everyone says true.
It's not going to affect the scores either way. If I...
Everyone says true.
In space, there is no noise. Noise doesn't travel.
This is correct.
Yep. Mm.
It's true. So, it's 6-4-4.
Yeah.
Question 8. The winner of the first modern Olympic marathon stopped in a pub for a glass of wine during the race.
So, if I get this right, I've won.
The winner of the first modern Olympic marathon stopped in a pub for a glass of wine during the race?
Which marathon?
The first Olympic marathon.
And it'd be in Greece, wouldn't it? Because that's where the Olympics originated.
The first modern Olympic marathon.
So a modern Olympic, so it's not the Greek sort of
modern Olympic marathon.
True, just because it's QA. Again, okay. It'd be quite a boring fact. It's a 9-hour. You just ran the race.
Yeah, but the base like that, don't you? They just get you on the edge of your finger, prodding you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go false.
False?
I
would.
I'd say the opposite to him.
You have every time so far.
I'm going to go false.
So true, false, false, yeah? So consensus is false, so we shall answer false. It's true.
So what's that, 6-5-4?
Yep. 6-5-4, and he's back in the game. He's back in the game.
Two left and all to
play for. Ooh. Is this going to end up as a tiebreaker between you and Andy?
I don't know.
Or is Owen going to get back into this?
Yeah, what if we all finish level? What happens then?
Well, let's see.
We'll fight it out for the winner.
In 1965, astronaut John Young was reprimanded by NASA for smuggling a hot dog into space. True or false?
True.
Please. I won't say true.
I want to know where.
Don't ask where he kept the mustard.
False.
Yes, false. I'd say true, but no doubt he'll probably say false. He like smuggled a burger or something.
False. I'm going to go false.
So you went true. You went false.
True.
True.
True that side, false this side.
We have consensus on true, so I'm answering true. Ooh. And it is false. We have a winner.
Yeah.
So it's 7-5-4. No one else can catch up. So just to finish this off, let's see who gets second place then. In the Middle Ages, plague sufferers tried to cure themselves by strapping dead chickens to their wounds.
Yes.
True or false? That,
true.
Knowing how crazy the sort of the remedies they tried in those
Everyone
ages
says
were,
true.
It's true.
Yeah.
I'm
Everyone
going
says true. Yeah?
Yeah. Mm.
It's false.
I thought you'd said...
So 7-5-4.
I said false.
So does that mean I'm as smart as the QILs?
Hey?
Does that mean I'm as smart as the QILs, seeing as I won?
Anyway,
do I have that victory?
Kind of, yeah.
You see, I did that with all the internet. So I'm as smart as the QILs.
Yes.
God damn it.
Right, okay.
Put me down, don't you, Andy?
It's fun.
So, yeah, that was the quiz. And we've unfortunately reached the end of the show today. So we're going to love you and leave you. We'll be back with more On The Box and more television-y stuff next week. But for now, I have been Rob.
I've also been Rob.
I've been Andy.
I've been Owen.
We'll see you all next week.